Holy smokes.
Want soda and get me Red Bull. Is there anything else you wanted before the show? Your order, madam?
Maybe the head of John the Baptist and a goblet of something.
Really? A Black Lotus, perhaps?
The witch's broom?
Stygian, the best. Oh, my God. It is Papa's Basement. Yay. I am the host, John Papa Giorgio.
Woo-hoo.
With me today, co-hostess extraordinaire.
Wow, that's totally me.
Exactly. It even gets the little fancy French squiggly mark over the E.
Ooh.
At the end. Allison Frank.
Ta-da.
Show's website is inpapasbasement.com. You go there for every episode we've ever done of this wondrous creation.
Wow. 365 days worth and then some.
I think you're right. I think the math checks out, especially if you listen to one episode a week. Then it's then it's quite a year's worth.
Yeah.
We put up a new show every Monday and every Thursday, hour-long episodes. If you go to inpapasbasement.com, you will find the iTunes subscription link at the top of the page. Click on that. If you have an iDevice, it makes it very simple. It just magically comes to your phone.
Yeah, how about that?
Your phone, your computer, your iPod, your iPad. There's so much I out there, Allison.
I guess. I don't know. I have a super space phone.
I guess.
Hell my.
You did it. You
the
did
end.
It.
The end.
You want us on Twitter? It's at Papa's Basement and Facebook.com/Papa's Basement for the Facebook. Very simple, right?
Yeah, super simple.
And we're ready
even
to go.
Even a caveman can do it. Even a monkey can
that
do it.
That should be... Well, okay. I was going to say that should be an ad campaign right there. I thought you were onto something. Then you said monkey. I can't go with that kind of humor.
Why?
I don't like that.
What happened to our jams?
Everyone, you want me to kick the jams back up? Bam! Right there. The music is back. Sorry, I almost had an aneurysm earlier today. So
because of what?
Because of a poo.
You're stupid.
What? You have never have that happen where once in a while your body's like, I feel like I have to, and then you get on the throne and nothing's doing, and you just strain there until your face is redder than Chief Wahoo's.
Or how
and
about
finally
when
something comes out and it's just not, it looks like a snipped puppy dog tail or something.
Yeah, it's
could you flip over your phone, by the way? It's distracting. It's lighting up with one of your thousand lovers texting you pictures of his genitalia.
Well, I mean, why would I want anything else?
Exactly.
just send photos of your sack.
Exactly. Not penis pictures. Those are so played out. Just testicle pictures. Scrotum pics.
Mmm, delicious.
you call them for short, scropies.
It is pretty disappointing. You go in there and you feel like you've eaten Thanksgiving dinner, and then you go in there, you think you worked out, you know, what felt like a California redwood, and then when you look in there, there's just two raisinets.
It wasn't even that. Usually, when I get the urge, the call, I know what's coming out, and I rarely, if ever.
So we had to talk about your softies, and now we're going to talk about your lack of performance.
No, I'm just saying.
That's disgusting.
I literally, you know how people have aneurysms from straining, and they just shove all
the
blood in their head.
It's called a vasovagal response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the blood pressure was testing the vessels for weaknesses earlier today. And I might not have had one today.
Then you just let it go. It's
but I
cool
think my blood
put it
was
on
like,
the back burner.
You know what? I think right here up near the forehead, we got a weakness. We can kill this man.
Gross. That's disgusting. Nobody wants to hear about your poop tails.
Everyone wants to hear it.
Poop tails.
And right out of the gates too.
Ooh.
If you're like, I've never heard this show, let's give it a try.
Nasty.
That's how you suck in the new listeners, Allison.
Oh, golly, Ned.
I'm just going to let you twist in the wind. I'm not going to say anything.
Good. And let's just have a lot of dead air.
That's radio magic right there.
Oh, gosh. Well, yeah, come on.
Let's get to the topic.
Yeah, let's bring it.
I like how I put it out there.
Yeah.
Same way you eat your vegetables, you get to the topic.
Yeah.
Like, that was the fun part of the show where I talked about soiling the bowl. Now let's get to the meat and potatoes.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to
I was thinking about this the other day, Allison. I was screwing around with an app called Tinder,
right.
I think, on my phone.
Yeah.
Good old brother bear.
Yes.
Billy Basil on Twitter. Will. He was introducing me to this app called Tinder, and he's like, it's great. It plugs into your Facebook, but tells no one what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it sniffs out just girls in the area, or you pick your preference. If you're into guys, I guess you can pick guys, and there's probably a buy setting as well.
All right.
Which I'd imagine
I'm not
is
familiar with it, so
something of a sausage fest. Well, it's pretty simple. It's it sniffs out your area,
uh-huh.
And then it says, "Hey, here is a girl that lives next to you.
Okay.
Yes or no?
Yep.
And it's as simple as flicking. I feel like Julius Caesar condemning people to death in the Colosseum. You flick them to the right, and it says, you know what? John, feeling this one.
Yep.
You flick them to the left, not so much. And you just go through, it's like going through a stack of Polaroids.
Yeah. And then it sends a prompt to whoever you said yes to. Or
well,
what?
If you both are down with each other, it says, hey, a match was made. Oh. Or something like that. I had it a couple weeks
now. But it doesn't show you half matches. Like, you know.
No.
Susie the Hippo wants you and you don't want her.
No. Because that would lead to too many problems for men.
Yeah.
Like those nights where you come home a little tipsy and you're horny.
Yeah, and then you see just the, you know, whole portfolio of wine.
The entire trough's worth that was into you, but you weren't feeling when you had a shred of resolve. But now that you're just looking to get it played with, you're like, oh, whatever. Toss them on.
I can close my eyes.
Bring it. Yeah.
Nasty. All right. So what?
It got me thinking.
Yeah.
Is there at any point,
mm-hmm.
because I'm going through this and it's just countless really good looking 19, 21. It's a younger crowd typically.
Yeah.
But they are what you would call like the creme de la creme. Could you yawn more goddamn audibly while I'm talking?
I can't help it. You didn't buy me any go-go juice.
You know what? If 75 cents is going to keep you sounding like you are an effing corpse on the air, here, I'll give you a dollar right now. We can pause the recording.
I really do need something.
All right,
to drink.
Go and get it. We'll pause.
Okay.
There. We'll be back in a minute. Allison needs to buy her Mountain Dew or whatever you drink. Baby getter, Baba? Baby, all better?
I do feel slightly refreshed. It's like splashing water on your face, do you know?
Ready to give a crap about the show now?
Okay.
That'd be nice. That's all I ask.
Well, you were saying like 19 to something, however old. What was the question? But I think 21 to 24
is prime. You sound
like
the kid who fell asleep at his desk in class. And the teacher was like,
Europe.
Tell us about the hoplites. And you're like, well, Abraham Lincoln. Good man. Great beard.
Yeah.
All right.
Love him.
I was saying that the girls, it was skewing younger.
Yeah.
By far. And they were not what you'd expect. I feel weird even saying this.
What?
They were not what you'd expect of the women online, which itself is kind of a archaic statement. It's dating back to like in 98, 99.
Early 90s, really, I think.
I guess, yeah, but really mid it picked up with AOL and stuff like that, where if you were flirting with a girl online, guaranteed to be an ogress. These look like the hottest chicks in their class or whatever kids are in at that age.
Well, I mean, I think because it's more mainstream because it's linked to Facebook. You see what I'm saying? So it's more... It's more open. It's more innocent. It sounds like, you know.
Well,
what I mean?
It stands completely independent of Facebook.
No, I understand, but it is linked, and those people who are interested in it, you know what I mean, because it's instant. They're not creating profiles and doing all that, correct? Because it's just linked.
Absolutely, it piggybacks your Facebook. Apparently,
whereas a lot of the dating type things are people who are invested in looking for something more because you have to fill out like 400 questions, you know. Like a zillion, whereas this is
you might
just
be onto
instant.
Something right there. You might have killed our entire episode. And so please, please just go, well, that's one theory. And then we can move forward.
That's one theory.
Thank you. Thank you. You're right. That is just one theory. There's 100
different
takes. I mean,
that makes the instant even more instant. You see what I'm saying?
It's just
it
makes it that much easier.
One button push.
And there's really nothing to stalk.
Right.
Like, I think if you guys don't match up, you can't just creepily message them anyhow.
Yeah.
Like, look, if you only knew me, you would have shoved me to the right, not the left.
The right.
But it really got me thinking.
But that's a younger crowd, period. So.
Yeah.
Like, your mom is not going to be on Tinder. But she's more
There's
likely
a couple,
to be.
Couple 50 pluses.
Yeah, but then they
the
are kind of saturated probably from their kids or their grandkids or whatever. But your mom typically, I mean, if she was going to go into the online thing, she would do like an eHarmony or Match or something like that.
If
she's
she
willing
could
to
pick
find
up
out.
People via QVC, that would be my mom's ideal.
But those are all gay men. Does she know that?
Well, the Louis DeLolio, her favorite designer, is married.
Oh, God.
Now, he looks very, very much the old gay man part.
I'm surprised you even know that.
Oh, yeah. I've heard Lewis's story. It's one of those, she's so into it that she kind of has to get people in her life into it. Have you ever been that way about anything? Have you ever cared about anything, Allison?
Mm-hmm. I'm passionate about a lot of things, but not... Really? Well, I mean, we
all right, the
about
way
this.
You're passionate about juicing, and you would go around, and someone could be like, I have the sniffles, and you would reply, you know, it would fix that juicing.
No, I don't do that. I'm not preachy that way. But
my car's brakes aren't working. You know, it would fix that juicing. You were kind of in that phase for a while.
I'm not the Windex guy. I'm not him. I'm not the Greek Windex guy. I mean, I'm not. I mean, I do think people can benefit from juicing, but I'm not all. All right,
in the same. I'm just saying, in the same manner, she is so into QVC and it brings her so much pleasure.
Yeah.
That anytime she gets an opening, she wants to talk about QVC. So I know about Lewis and his beard wife, whom she doesn't really want to acknowledge as a beard, but she's as beardy as Santa.
Why is it when you say that to about women, you'll be like, oh, did you see that woman's mustache? People are like, what mustache? That's mean. It's mean of her to go out in public with it.
Yeah, I really feel that. It's very mean for a woman with facial hair to go out there, let the kids snigger.
Yeah.
And then they get smacked by their parent.
I mean, I
for laughing at a woman with a beard, Allison.
She has curly sideburns. A woman does.
Really?
Yeah.
That Civil War commander look? It's, are they that bad?
It's close. It's really God. Close. I mean, it is very noticeable. It's not like, hey, you got one that comes out of the mole every once in a while.
No.
It's bad. I mean, why wouldn't you just
it's like
take that
meatloaf
off?
And Rocky
I posted
Horror
a picture of me on Facebook. I mean, people, you know, I talk about my mustache, but I take it off. I mean, I don't.
And we
know.
All thank you. The world thanks you.
Everybody does. I thank myself.
If a dog could talk, it would go run crew.
I don't want food getting caught in it and everything.
That's just the one perk. That's the worst.
You get
hair is disgusting for that, if nothing else. Like, sometimes I'll blow my nose, and literally, if I'm shirtless, a boogie will get stuck in the chest hair.
Gross.
Oh, yeah. And then later, you'll be, like, shirtless with a girl. She'll be like, is that? And you're like, no. No, it's something else that isn't disgusting.
But that's the beauty of
caught
online dating.
In my fur.
When you are doing the online thing, then you can just... there is a guy out there who's just... He's into women who don't shave their pits, and you could be that girl at home eating Haagen-Dazs thinking, you know what? I'd really rather not shave my pits. And then look, there you have a similar
She sounds
interest.
Like a winner. She sounds like that profile's getting a
she
lot
could
of
be
traffic.
Petite. She could be from France. And she's thinking, you know what?
They shave over there, Allison.
Yeah, okay.
That was like the 60s.
All right. Okay, well, then let's talk about Romanians.
The Romanians could shave. They still look hairy. They're
Armenians.
They're, oh, God. The Armenians put the Greeks to shame. The Greek women can laugh at Armenian women.
Armenian women, they have to go and get their arms waxed. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of maintenance on and they're.
Oh, wait, do we have Armenian listeners? I mean, it's very attractive.
Actually, we do. My friend Annette, who doesn't seem that hairy, to be quite honest. But
maybe, actually, they're pretty kind of bold about it. I mean, there was one chick, and she was in a wedding, and she's like, yeah, they were talking about getting waxing mm-hmm. done, and the bride was talking about Brazilian and whatever, and someone else is like, yeah, I have this or I have that, and some with facial hair. And the woman said, yeah, I got my arms waxed, and we were all like, bang.
Oh, no.
I mean,
I can only picture an Armenian
the front of your underpants
getting a Brazilian wax
can look like a million daddy long legs are trying to escape. But when the minute you say you got to get your arms waxed,
I'm just picturing an Indian taking the scalp of Freddie Boom Boom Washington. And that is the wax strip being lifted from an Armenian woman. Okay.
Yeah.
Here's what I wanted to ask you.
Okay.
Think long and hard about this.
Yeah.
In 2013, when this episode's being recorded, oops, it's no longer evergreen.
Absolutely.
Do you think there is even a shred of a stigma associated with online dating anymore?
Yeah, I do. I think there's a slightly shameful stigma still attached to it. And why? I don't really know, because we don't do anything without our smartphones. I was saying, you know, our smartphones can order our next, set up our next oil change. We have refrigerators that... When your items in the refrigerator get low, they do a list and they email it to Peapod, and Peapod delivers. So why wouldn't you find your mate and similar interests and so forth on the internet?
So you think there is a stigma, but there shouldn't be?
Yeah, I mean, I think because we do everything online or through our phones or through our laptop or whatever. I mean, everything is so instant. And now you're saying about Tinder, it's just a one button push. We don't have to fill out.
I think it's called Tinder. Yeah, the icon's a little flame. So Tinder flame. Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about.
Hold on. Let me look, because it's a fun, you know, I'll log in for about 30 seconds, and it's just so easy. You're like, I'd bang you, I'd bang you, I'd bang you, not you. Bang you, bang. Like, while I'm watching TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so, called Tinder.
Yeah, so that's super duper easy. And I think there are similar ones that are like that too, where you can just do a simple yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. Those kinds of things, where you don't really even have to interact until there's a mutual.
I'm going to play devil's advocate, and I'm going to say, even if there is some left, there is so little compared to what there once was. And I kind of want to walk people through that, especially we have listeners who are like 20.
Yeah.
They grew up in a world which never had Twin Towers, and there was never anything shameful about pulling ass online.
Yeah.
And Allison, you've even got a couple years on me,
right,
Methuselah?
That's right.
You old bitch.
That's right.
Tell me if I'm missing anything, because my first experience with talking people, like romantically, period, or just being flirty, was with AOL Instant Messenger,
right?
Which I picked up in '99 when I went to college to keep up with my family at home,
right?
Because that predated cell phones with their unlimited long distance, so you either needed a phone card, like a Puerto Rican calling home.
Right.
Or you needed to use AOL and you would type to people.
Right.
And that's how you didn't go broke.
I guess.
Paying the long distance fees of your dorm.
Yeah.
Around that time, you could make your little AOL profile and just said, like, I'm such and such from somewhere or somewhere. You would just kind of put a few things, maybe some song lyrics.
Oh,
crap like that. And you could search for people. I think it was really limited to geographic area. Mm-hmm. So you would have to sift through and then blindly guess at their gender, their age, everything.
Well, what about chat rooms? Chat rooms were big then, too. So I mean,
I never
how would
did
you do
anything
that?
With chat rooms.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing, it was one of those deals where AOL would give you 10 free hours.
Yeah.
And you log in and go to, like, I don't know, the Nubian Queen room and just type white power over and over until you got banned. You know, dumb little kid stuff like that.
Oh, gotcha. I mean, I never did anything, but I remember hearing a lot about it. I mean, I was always had a really strong work ethic, so... I mean, I really wasn't online. I didn't really do much until like probably 2001 or two, something like that.
Yeah,
I didn't even have an email
really
address,
when I got into the
I think,
net as
until
well.
I was like 2001.
I didn't have a private one until I went to college in 99.
Yeah, so I mean, I was kind of, I guess, late to that. And I mean, when people are talking about it, it seemed kind of ridiculous to me. As much as I like to talk, I mean, I interact with people. You know me, I'm very outgoing, so I talk to everyone everywhere. So I didn't really need that socially.
I was going to say, of all the people I know, you're the one who actually, you behave in a way in real life that everyone else has that courage online. And it's fascinating for me to watch. Like, I remember the other day, oh God, there's a woman who had like three kids with her.
Yeah.
And you just walk up and like playfully, you're like, you think you got enough kids? And she just smiled because she knew you were joking about it and just started cracking on her kids. And I'm like, do you realize if anyone else said that? Can you imagine me or Will saying that? And we walk up, we go, you think you got enough kids? We would get smacked. There would be nothing playful about it.
Yeah.
She would go, who the hell are you to tell me that? And kick us in our testes.
I just went to Target yesterday or day before. No. A couple days ago, I went to Target. And there was a young couple there, and they had a new baby. The baby was maybe like 2 or 3 months old, and the baby was making baby noises and kind
as opposed to those old babies, the 60-month-olds.
Well, some people consider a baby a toddler. You know,
that's a toddler, not a baby.
You'd be surprised. So anyway, the baby was like 2 or 3 months old, and the baby started like kind of fussing, kind of cooing or whatever, but it started making a little bit of noise. And so I went up to them and I said, hey, you mind shutting your baby up? I'm trying to do some shopping.
Yeah, you can say things like that. And
they just laughed.
You're not threatening about it. And it drives me berserk.
My friend nearly died.
Yeah, because that's the kind of crap I feel a lot of us think we can get away with online. Yeah. But in real life, no one says that.
But see, that's the thing I kind of pride myself on. I'm the same person.
You should.
No matter.
You have a superpower. And don't get me wrong. I have the same thing. Like, if I've met someone online and then we hang in real life, there's very little difference. And there was a time where you would have to comment.
Yeah.
It'd be like, well, you look like your profile pictures and you aren't a quiet weirdo in real life. Well, same to you. And that would kind of be an icebreaker. Uh-huh. I feel that's more common now. But yeah, that was kind of my superpower. But I'm not going to. My icebreaker skills, if you will, are very, I'm not going to say deficient, because I feel like I'm in the massive majority when it comes to that. Like,
then what
all
am
of
I?
Us, you're like Superman freak. Like, you have a power we all wish we had, but there's only one of you.
Oh, my. Well, I just think, you know what?
You hail from the planet Polak.
Social Polak? I'm a social Polak? I don't know, but I think that would make me somewhat, you know, not social. I mean, Polaks have a... We're not known for being very bright, so I don't
maybe you're too dumb to know fear. Is that I was actually going for a 90-second ethnic joke.
I mean,
90 seconds.
I mean, I was never really into the like online dating and all that myself. I mean, I've done some like ghostwriting and I've set up profiles for people, and I was talking to you earlier how I've set things up. But I can definitely see the appeal, and if people are honest about
for you, it must be a damn waste of time.
I mean, it kind of is. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't know. I kind of network enough outside.
I was going to say.
That
you,
I don't really.
You, for whatever reason, you're like the person who doesn't need to eat vitamins because they actually eat 11 servings of fruits and vegetables or whatever the hell we're supposed to get each day.
I mean, but I do think that there's definitely, I mean, I was talking with my neighbor about this, about online dating, and she was like, oh my gosh, and she met her. Her boyfriend on.
And when was this?
Just days ago.
And how old was the neighbor?
She's 67.
I was going to say.
But you might as well just say, you know what? I just went into a cave. There was going to be a team of bikers there. I mean, that's how she views online dating. Like, it is just.
And I think
why
the older generations, maybe as their loneliness kind of takes over and it's like, look, this might be the worst thing ever,
but I think they would
die alone.
No, they wouldn't. I think they just join.
They're just okay with dying alone.
They join social clubs.
Bridge and death.
Like, I could see maybe your mom doing it because she's a writer. You know what
I
mean?
She does it like on the down low. I've seen a couple sites in her history.
So, but I'm saying,
nothing
like,
starting
I can see
with
her
big
doing
black,
that.
But
and to her, she would like doing that because it kind of gives her a screening process. But I think a lot of other. Like seniors or older people, they join social groups or clubs, community events or whatever, the homeowners association and pool activities and the community lodge, whatever, you know. So
what I want to go through with you, maybe when it lost its stigma, because
I don't think that it's completely lost its stigma. I think it is. Well, okay. I think much more people are into it than are willing to admit.
Let me walk you through a timeline, kind of like Time Life, where I'm just going to give you a book with the 60s and it's a guy doing peace and he's got a beard. And then the next book is the 70s and the discotheque photo. 2000.
Yeah.
It's pretty much meeting people via chat rooms, AOL, things like that.
Right.
If you actually met someone via the internet, you were almost openly showing up with arms to disable the other because there's that much. I remember meeting a girl off AOL, I'm not kidding, in 2001. Yeah. And we meet up.
Yeah.
First of all, like having a picture online then was a rarity. You maybe had one.
Yeah.
It was almost like the Civil War era where it's like, this is the one time we got the family to stand still for 86 minutes before Junior died of the whooping cough. You would have one photo, like a face shot scanned up. You send it to each other, make sure you weren't like burn victims. Right. And I meet up with this girl. And within 15 minutes, we're joking about the fact we're both like armed in case the other turned out to be a psycho. She's like, you know what? I guess I could tell you this. You seem fine. I've got like a can of mace right here. I'm like, it's cool. I got a knife like on my ankle. And we joked and bonded. We just
Now the equivalent of that is just having, you know, a friend on standby.
Oh, of course. You have like you've got your cell phone now.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, hey, look, I'm going to check in every half hour. And if not, I'm either getting laid or killed.
Yeah.
So back then, it was still very, very weird.
No, it is. And I remember my very first, I didn't do any online dating or dating sites or anything, but the very first experience I had with sort of meeting online or having a connection where someone had my phone number or we would text or we would email, I had surgery in like 2001, 2002. I had surgery on my hand, so I was off of work for a while, and I was playing online backgammon. And this, I know, right?
You know, my old Arab man.
my dad was like, he would play backgammon for money back in the day, like bet his whole paycheck. Like he was just like a backgammon shark, you know?
Okay.
So I kind of like, if he saw my game, he'd be totally embarrassed, you know, but it's pretty sloppy.
More because of your lack of grifting and your poor backgammon fundamentals.
But anyhow, I wound up chit-chatting with someone, and then they had a good sense of humor, and then we would kind of set up a time to play so we would both be online at the same time.
Ooh.
It wasn't ever a sexual thing. It was just a pal. But we would talk on the phone and stuff, and my mom would be like, I hope it's not an internet person. Like, and it is a guy, and my mom would be like, you know, he's got a room upstairs in his house, and it's just lined with magazine cutouts of eyeballs. Like, my mom is just,
for what,
you better watch yourself. And I was like, you know, he doesn't really know where I live or whatever.
I guess I never got that creeped out by internet people, even though there was a time where that really did mean a certain segment of the population. They really were like the socially kind of awkward types for the most part. The internet was not the most popular thing for a while.
I mean, I do. It really but was even the domain now, of the geek. I think people are not really willing to, people are more willing to go out there and meet. You look at it statistic wise, they say that there's 54 million single adults. And out of that 54 million single adults, 40 million are doing online dating. You see?
So, yeah.
That's but when you talk to people, they're like, oh, that's not for me.
Well, it turned a corner, I'm going to say, with MySpace. Mm. And that was the first time a majority of people had an online presence. That's also when cell phones started having pictures. Yeah. So all of a sudden, the internet meeting was not this cautionary tale. It wasn't like, oh, this big fat iceberg of a bitch lured me in with one deceptive picture. It was like, hey, look, we've seen each other. That's when everyone starts posting their little torso photos, like, look at the abs, man, and things like that.
That was you.
Yeah, that was me, you know, posing for Inches magazine.
For your taint, your 5-inch taint.
And I feel it was these two factors coming together, both the ease with which you could finally get photos online, be it via, I guess, digital cameras for the first time, or like 200.
Yeah.
If you remember that, I got a steal on a digital camera for 200. I wouldn't take a crap on that thing now. Toilet paper means more to me than that camera at this moment. My iPhone does things it could never do. But you had that and MySpace. So all of a sudden, it wasn't, it's these freaks, these little cave dwellers who have an internet profile. Screw it. Most of us do.
Yeah, some of us have it somewhere. I mean,
I never deleted mine. And I think I lost the email address that it's attached to.
I actually have mine still is up there. Yeah, I think it's still up there.
Sometimes I'll look up myself and it's just me frozen in time and I'll never be able to alter that profile again. It kind of blows my mind.
Oh, well, I mean, it's fine enough. I don't know. I mean,
thanks for adding that. Oh, well.
I think everybody has some type of online thing, whether it's online dating or not. I mean, you can meet people through other social type media things of like interest. You know, you're on the tennis club, or one of my clients was telling me about, I think it's Meetup or something like that. And it's based on your location, but there's different types of groups, hiking groups, movie theater groups, or whatever.
Less kind of, because I don't want to call MySpace and then later Facebook. That's the one to me
that really
took any of the shame out of it for the most part. And yet, 2009, a buddy of mine, Richie, Rich Killian, good old guy, meets his girlfriend via OkCupid.
Right.
And they dated like a year, year and a half. It was a fairly successful relationship. By my standards, they were married, for God's sake. And he was like, we had to, according to her, come up with a story for how we met, because it sure as hell wasn't going to be OkCupid.
But that's even now. I was talking to my friend Brian, and he says, you know what? He has a friend, and it's the same thing. They've been together, I think, for 2 years. And by all accounts, they're a perfect couple for each other. But they, there's only a rare couple people, or himself, that know the real story that they met on eHarmony.
Mm-hmm.
But they actually met through eHarmony, but they tell each other that they met at this
bowling alley.
The bar is
a bar. That's always, it's just this generic bar.
And to me, that's always kind of a downer. I have my friend Andy who met his wife at a bar, and he's miserably married. Like, he is not happy at all.
Of course, because the profile lets you know everything about them.
Yeah, then you would have known she was a witch.
Yeah, had she only admitted, had you seen the profile, you would have known she was into Skynyrd and all kinds of other horrible things. Yeah. I'm kidding. I love Skynyrd. God, they're good. They are. I can't help it. Have you ever heard Curtis Lowe? Come on.
No, but I think that part of that stigma comes from, like, everyone wants their own personal love story to come out of, like, a Woody Allen film or something out of a Nicholas Sparks book or something. You know what I mean? They want it to be.
And I will say that.
A Nora Ephron When Harry Met Sally. Or,
oh, yeah. There is nothing romantic about the online dating thing. It's like, well, look, he was a 94% match. And that just doesn't happen that often. So
Is that how it works?
My hands were tied. I want to say, like, oh, God, because I've never. Despite all the people that I've flirted with online and crap, it was always via like MySpace or Facebook and Twitter. My actual dating site experience is incredibly limited.
Yeah.
But I think OkCupid is percentage based. And this isn't like me doing fake, like, oh, I'm not so familiar with that as I hit up OkCupid tail on my phone.
No, I mean, I really am.
I just talked about taking a vicious dump earlier. You know what? There's not much shame here. I think I had like an OkCupid profile because a friend wanted me to look up other people for him and be like, hey, is that girl hot? Is that girl hot?
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever done anything with it. Yeah. It is, I believe, percentage based. It's like this is a 74% match. This is 80%.
Yeah. I mean, I never either. I mean, I did a couple profiles, but really it was to.
Have you
kind
ever
of help
dated
people.
Anyone? Like actually had a relationship with someone off the net?
No, I don't believe so.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Okay. We met that way.
Yeah, we did.
We met via MySpace. We yacked it up, and then we started hanging out, and we became
really
buddies.
I really have to
kind
of think about it. I mean,
not only you,
yeah,
Veronica, one of my other co-hostesses, met via the net.
Yeah,
MySpace too. That was a good site for actually meeting people. I still keep up with like almost anyone I met off of MySpace. It's
I
weird
did
like that.
A while, like years and years and years ago. There was, I mean, it probably still is there. There's the site called Hot or Not. And a friend
I remember my, Hot or Not.
And my friend had a digital camera. I didn't have a digital camera at that time.
Yeah, they were like a rare thing.
Yeah, and so my friend had a digital camera, and they posted my photo on there.
Very creepy.
But they,
go on.
Well, they did in a sense because I'm a practical joker. And they posted my photo on there, and they said, but they wrote a little blurb in the profile with something really cheesy, like something that I don't say, you know, walks on the beach and I don't know, a lot of sap and probably some poetry or something. And they said, you know, we'll only give you I'll give you the password if you leave it up there a week, you know? And so I did. But then it turned out the joke was kind of on them because I am kind of chatty and it was kind of like passing notes in fifth grade. And that was my first experience kind of like that. It's not necessarily a dating kind of thing, but really when...
Were you branded hot or not? I think we all want to know.
I was branded pretty hot.
Oh, good for you.
I was up there, but I mean, I'm very photogenic, so there you go. I mean, I think you were talking about facial portions. My facial portions must be right. I don't know. You know, my eyes aren't too far apart or too close together. Or
you don't
and
have
I have
those,
a nice smile.
Those Jackie O deer eyes. What a
no,
creepy
but
looking
in addition
woman.
To being hot, once I changed my profile and it was clever. So I kept that up for a while. Yeah. And I chatted with people there. I made some friends there.
But you never,
but I
see,
never
for
dated
me,
anybody.
I think almost all of my lasting kind of romantic relationships were online based. They
I
started
that way.
I met my
friend Jason there. I met my friend Joel there.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're pals. We're like siblings.
Because I'm not really talking to a ton of people in real life unless I'm thinking back to my bar days, unless I was getting fairly tipsy. And at that point, it wasn't really you were trying to close by pulling a number. It was like, my apartment's not too far from here. I can drive us. I'm not that drunk. Let's go.
I mean, I just meet people and...
I mean, like, I dated a coworker for a while.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, my skill set doesn't seem to lend itself to, oh, there's this hot girl. I'm going to make my move right now.
You just should.
I know I should. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. I was at Anita's earlier today.
Right.
Everyone's favorite Tex-Mex in the Northern Virginia area.
Is that right?
I was at Anita's, and there's a girl who's clearly there with a boyfriend and another couple.
Right.
And she's this great ginger. Killer ass and yoga pants.
How do you know
it
was her boyfriend?
You can just look at a couple, I think, and see a dynamic there. Yeah. Even if they're kind of mildly hungover and they have Sunday morning breath,
so
they're not tonguing
each other. Don't you think when we're out together, people think we're a couple, but we're not?
They could. They could. But
sounds like unfortunately.
Yeah.
I got
you're
the old
right.
ball and chain here.
I need to wear my t-shirt that says I pull better. You're right. No, I think you can simply tell. And I think later on they did a little hand-holdy crap, but you might be right. In that situation, I just kind of stared at the redhead's ass for about 5 minutes creepily, waiting for my breakfast burrito, and then she eventually left with her team, and that was it.
But I think that's different.
Two ships in the night as I fill the spank tank with thoughts of pasty, milky ginger.
Yeah, but there's been other experiences and other social situations where the person has not been attached or whatever.
Oh yeah, that was a scenario where even you might be like, ah.
I would probably talk to them.
You would anyhow, but you have that freakish gift. You could walk up and be like, your boyfriend's a homo. Hey, beautiful. And she'd be like, just fanning herself. And,
but you could too. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. So
it's very true.
Yeah.
I would say it like a stumbling, mumbling wreck. Be like, hey, you want to touch my wiener?
I'm just thinking, can I buy you a milkshake?
Yeah.
I didn't say something about my wiener, did I?
No. Nope.
That's too bad. But the internet, I think for a lot of people who don't have the time, but really I say that, but we just looked up the statistic on eHarmony or Match or one of them. You have to do 400 questions. Like, to me, that's, you're putting in some time and energy and you're kind of serious about it. So
I wanted to get two guys that I know from the internet to call in and talk about this.
Yeah, absolutely.
Are you down for that?
Absolutely. But yeah.
We can only take the calls if after I ask Allison, you reply, yes, dear, though.
Yes, darling.
That's it. That's what I heard 18 times when editing our last show with callers.
Oh, my.
Allison, I don't want to delay. Our first caller is a person. I don't know how the hell we started following each other via Twitter, but we did.
All
He's
right.
a funny guy. I find him very amusing. Okay. Wanted to punch him on through now. Mr. H. Allen Scott, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hello. Wow.
Hey, what up,
Hi
man?
There.
How you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Not bad, not bad. And yourself, you live over in California, a.k.a. the good state.
Yes, yes, the state with a massive surplus, apparently. I'm reporting in the Times.
Nice. I just know it is a place where you can get in and out, and the sea is lovely.
The sea is lovely, and you can get lots of medical marijuana, too. I mean, just keep it coming.
First of all, should I just call you Alan? Because I always know you on Twitter as H. Allen Scott. But
yeah, you can call me Alan. People call me Alan. They call me H. Allen. They call me Hallen. They call me a lot of things.
Hallen. I kind of like Hallen, actually.
Yeah, yeah, you can go with Hallen. That's just perfect.
All right.
As long as we don't do the, you could call me Ray. You could call me. We've been talking on the show. Actually, before I get to that, can you tell the world why you are good and online famous and all that stuff? Why you kind of rock at life?
Well, I am a writer, stand-up comic, and I am doing this project called Chemocation. It's about my cancer. We can talk about that later. And Oprah
sounds hilarious.
Name. Yeah, I know. I mean, cancer is like endlessly funny.
I mean, I'm a nurse, and usually I say things like cancer, smancer. Is this payday?
That's funny.
I like Hallen, though. I tend to pick the guests because they are funny via Twitter, and that is how I interact with people.
Oh,
it's
good.
It's simple that way.
And it's more appropriate. It's more 2013 to not see anyone in person, really, on Twitter.
It's just efficient,
only
damn it.
Acknowledge things by favorite.
Exactly. I don't even retweet. That's a little too messy.
Yeah.
I'm becoming too much a part of someone's life with that. Like you said, you just give out the little fave star.
It's like a little, like, I like you.
That sounds romantic.
Alan,
a little bit, doesn't it?
We were discussing if there is really any stigma at all associated with online dating at this point. And just meeting people via the net, but really for a romantic purpose. Not even like an online dating site per se. And I was kind of giving my background, like I used to flirt with people via AOL and crap like that in the, you know, 2000, 2001, things like that. Do you think there's anything at all at this point wrong with it? Like, does anyone give a crap, or is that completely accepted, or what?
Well, I think straight people, I'm gonna go in this direction here.
Okay.
Oh,
like,
my.
I think straight people really took this, because, I mean, gay people really kind of revolutionized the idea of
online
dating.
Oh, excuse me.
They really did.
A high and mighty gay guy? How unusual.
We're
Are you on a throne right now? Are you wearing a velvet cape?
I am, actually.
That's nasty, cancer man.
That's what I sit here in my house in Los Angeles. I
God.
Did my, medical.
I hope you're sitting on a ball doily. I mean, that's nasty. You're probably not even wearing any pants.
What was the gay scene like? I guess how were gay guys picking each other up online?
Why I say that is, if you think about it, like I remember being a gay teenager mm-hmm. in the Midwest. You know, very little access to anything happening.
I'm sure that was an awesome life.
It was great. It was so happy. I mean, there was so few tears.
Yeah.
No beatings whatsoever.
I had so many friends, and it never got better.
Campaign more.
Exactly.
It sucks forever.
No, but I mean, so we had to turn to online communication. We had to turn to online.
I don't believe that's true.
I hate to correct you on your gayness,
but I think, don't you just like throw glitter on one another and then you just, that's kind of like you're married now and then you have sex on a unicorn?
Wow. Glitter. We're going in that direction Sunday morning.
I'm trying to take a call, Allison. Shut your yap for a second.
Yeah, you should probably Google what like gay stereotypes are and then get new ones because there's so much.
I'm pretty sure
glitter.
There's unicorns involved.
All right, so online, what were your means exactly? Was it still AOL and like there are just kind of different chat rooms or what?
Well, it started actually through we had to go to a magazine, a printed magazine called XY, and mm-hmm. then at XY they had a website that had an AOL chat room that then you could go and you could meet. And this is like in the late 90s.
No, I love how low tech it is. Back when you would get a magazine that had a URL printed in it.
Exactly, exactly. And we had to go find, and it wasn't even a URL, actually. We had to like go search for a chat room.
Oh, just literally based AOL. On words or something?
Exactly. And then we would like maybe be in the right chat room.
Yeah.
You never know. You
like it's one letter off and it's actually a room for the San Diego Chargers. Or...
Yes, exactly, exactly. And then can you imagine like when you're chatting with someone on an AOL chat room, and this is before like you can text message anything. And you can't really easily take a picture of yourself and send it to somebody. So you have to actually go and you have to get a scanner at FedEx Kinko's.
Yeah,
back then.
You had to scan a Polaroid and then upload it for 56 minutes.
I actually mailed pictures one time. I snail mailed pictures of myself to somebody.
Actually, my roommate, he's gay also, but he actually, that's what he had to do too. Like way back then, that's what you did. And he's in the closet about it. And so that was more helpful
for him.
Was
that like no paper trail?
I guess. But I mean, he did do, like, he was saying, like, a chat room and those kinds of things. And it was like a community, an online kind of community. But again, it's so small. It's like everybody winds up dating everybody, too. So that was kind of bad.
Well, I guess in the Midwest, yeah.
I mean, and in a weird way, I feel like the gay community in the late 90s was figuring out sort of how to do this online dating, this online communication.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, it was my only this was before Ellen. This was like just a few years before
Ellen. Yeah.
And so, like, there was no real means of to actually communicate and find a relationship out there. So once that started, that's how most of my relationships started with people was online.
Did you start like
based online
in the Midwest? Or do you have like any crazy stories where you learned like someone's dad was gay or something like that? Or were any kind of anecdotes?
I mean, I was raised Mormon, so there was a lot of weird closeted gay people.
Okay, I figured, yeah.
So it wasn't like, and I was actually like, because I was outed, so I was one of the few sort of like examples of an out gay person living in the Midwest in my small little community. But there were so many people who wouldn't even talk to me outside. They would only talk to me online because they didn't want to be seen talking with me.
Yeah.
And so there was all this like online communication and online dating and online relationships that would happen. And then a couple years later, Match.com comes around and it's like, literally, I remember being in college and talking to my friends being like,
what year was that?
I think that was like early aughts, I think.
Okay.
Match.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we were doing that for years. That's all we were doing online was, you know, jerking off together online.
No, I straight up, like, I can only imagine because the male sex drive, it seems, is just very overpowering when it comes to wanting to get some and just taking the females out of the equation where it's just a bunch of dudes wanting to get laid. I can only imagine things are going to get done.
Totally amplified.
No pussy footing around there.
You can't get, like, it's like 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and you're like, why aren't you taking a nap or something? Why are we doing this now? No, we're still doing it now.
Was there ever a stigma, though, I guess, or in the gay community then? Or was it always just, dude, we're meeting, we're getting some, and that's all that matters?
I think there was a little bit of a stigma because, again, like you said, it's a minority community. It's a small niche community that there is kind of, like, you feel dirty about what you're doing because no one else is doing it.
And
all of a sudden, like, it becomes, it starts to become, well, even when Match.com came around, it was still kind of a taboo.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of still is.
I'm just picturing, like, an old conservative gay married guy. He's like, why can't you meet a husband the way I met mine? You
well,
kids today.
That can only happen in 11 states. So,
oh.
So that guy doesn't really exist in the United States. But I guess there was a taboo behind it, but it was like, I don't know, it was our only means.
For you, it was like one of 18 taboos. You're like, just toss it on the pile. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're not going to let me give blood or get married, well, then fuck it. I might as well have this taboo, too. I might as well just embrace it. I don't think there was necessarily a huge taboo, but it's just what we did, you know?
It was, yeah.
And it was kind of nice. And I think now, like, so much, and this is even going further within the gay community, but so much of, like, our online communication and our communication within other members of the community is via, like, if you don't live in an urban setting, is probably via social media. It's
yeah.
probably via things like Grindr.
No, my friend Scott, like, I mean, he's really kind of immersed himself, and he has a couple websites and things now. Now it's kind of more, he's more branched out, but he's very active in the gay community, and he does drag, and he does a lot of other things, too. But really, for his personal life, he... within that, because he's so out here in the sticks, he's kind of limited, and like in the like gay clubs or the bar or that scene or whatever, like everyone's kind of dated everyone also.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
in order to kind of branch out of that pool, that local mm-hmm. pool, he uses online, and there's a couple of sites I think that he uses, but you know, they do like instant messenger chat and those kinds of things, to whereas you can connect with someone immediately and so
yeah,
forth. Yeah,
it's totally different than, and this is just me totally stereotyping straight people, but like y'all can go to
anywhere. Yeah,
you can go to the grocery store.
Right,
you can if you have game.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know how much game you have.
I don't think a lot of straight people have game. Maybe game is limited. Period.
Do you guys bond over fiber? Is that sort of like?
I mean, I do. I meet people everywhere.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think gay or straight, 80% of one's life is just staring at other people, saying, "I wish I could do you, but I don't know how."
That is something that you should be tweeting, sir.
But yeah, you're right. I think you're right. I mean, I think being a gay man, it's more difficult to kind of open that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, so in terms of like the bigger question of is
when you're not in a bar or those kinds of scenes, you know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger question is it's not as taboo
yeah.
anymore, I don't think, because it is like, as gay acceptance gets bigger, but also too as general like online dating,
yeah.
the experience of online dating, and it becomes more of like a youth oriented thing, like OkCupid is doing
yeah.
and these other websites are doing. I don't know, it's not really as taboo as it was. I have no problem. In fact, most of the dates that I go on are via online dating.
Yeah,
but I mean, when you go to introduce someone, like if you've had a long term relationship with someone, like say you're dating a couple months, which is like an infinity for a gay man.
For me too. Come on.
Yeah, most people.
I mean,
most people living within anywhere near an urban setting, 2 weeks is an infinity.
Yeah.
So, but I'm saying when you have that, I mean, are you introducing them as the guy that you met on Match, or that's the guy that you met on, you know,
well, that's funny
whatever.
Because, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of times it depends on the community of people that I'm talking with. I mean,
yeah.
I'm like, if I'm introducing them to comic friends of mine, which are most often straight people, then I
yeah.
usually will make a joke and be like, yeah, we met off Grindr.
Yeah.
But, like,
sorry. I'll chuckle at that. It got me.
I mean, it's kind of actually. I did it last night at a party where I just like someone asked how I knew someone. I'm like, oh, we met on Grindr. We didn't, but it's like become a joke now.
Yeah.
That if you're two gay guys, of course you met on Grindr.
They need to make straight Grindr. Damn it.
Well, they have it. It's called Blender.
Nice.
Yeah.
You are automatically the best caller we've ever had now.
But what's interesting about Blender is I know guys, and this is just not going to bode well for my community at all. But I know guys will pose as straight women to get dick pics of straight guys.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know.
You tricky gay devils, you.
There are tricky gay devils.
I have a million in my phone. I can just forward them to you right now. I think you can call any girl you know, and she's got, you know, there's not 10 people
it's
that
true.
You can
they're
call
never deleted. They're always
yeah,
there.
Well, I delete them. I mean, because
really?
They're just a steady stream. I think I got three today.
I thought it was kind of like a Jen Sturger thing. You just save them, and then you have a couple of glasses of wine.
Why
and
would you
like,
want a
look.
Flip book of a million dicks? I mean, I guess I'm not a gay man.
They accidentally get saved to your photo stream on your Apple TV while you're having a house party.
Oh,
all of a sudden, those pictures come up.
And then the screensaver
not
kicks
that
in.
That happened to me at all.
Yeah.
Never happened to me.
Dude, Hallen, you have been good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. What is it you wanted to plug? Because anyone who comes on, we're all whores. We all want to get our Twitter handles out there and our websites and everything. So plug away, sir.
Yeah, you can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at H. Allen Scott, A-L-A-N Scott. That's the best. Twitter. Everything's there.
Are you handsome?
I would say I'm pretty handsome. I don't know about what people on OkCupid.
I like the looks of Hallen Scott.
Do you? Is he handsome?
He's got a good hairline. He's got the glasses. I like it.
I'll have to check him out. I can pass him around. I know some famous gay people.
Really?
I really do.
Get it.
Okay. Well.
Oh, what are you? Are you single? Is your boyfriend listening?
I am single, and I got a dog next to me.
Aww.
Well, thanks, Hallen. We'll get to you in a second off air, but thanks again for calling in, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Later. You know, I thought you could charm anyone, Allison, but...
Yeah, I can. He was charmed. I know people.
I can
hook him up if he's handsome. If he's a gay troll, then...
He looks fine as far as
I
know. I
mean, if he's a gay troll, maybe I can hook him up with Bruce Valanche.
I think Bruce would still get the young, thin twinks.
Oh, wow.
Really like a retro thing, you know?
I guess. Everyone loves a patter writer. I don't know.
Witty patter. Good patter.
I don't know. He's written for the Oscars
for
like 100
Hallen
years.
That was Scott, H. Yeah. Allen Scott.
He's fun.
Yeah, it's one of those deals, again, you don't know how you started following each other on Twitter, but
cool.
You do. And you're that guy's funny. And
I
eventually,
should get on there then, huh?
What, on Twitter?
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's a ton of interesting people who say funny crap.
Yeah. I'm kind of old, though, you know? Old dog, new tricks.
Oh, come on. Jesus Christ. You're like the queen of social media. You always pull the old card when you don't want to do something. Like, I'm truly fascinated why it takes you a week to share one in every five episodes of
this
show.
You know what the thing is? I wanted to do that kind of not in tandem, not together. Kind of break it apart from your posting.
Okay.
You know, that way they're not
piggybacked. I simply wish you had told me that. I simply wish you had told me that instead of...
Meanwhile, you're just banging the angry drum.
Well, I'm like, hey, Allison, will you post this? Sure, darling. Can you post that today? Sure, darling.
That's a good impression of me.
And then 2 weeks go by, and I'm like, hey, did you ever post that thing from the Carter administration? You're like, sure, darling.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
All right, we got one more caller.
I'm in.
Again, another dude I know via Twitter.
Okay.
And I don't exactly know how, but he says funny crap, and it's metalhead funny stuff. Once in a while, there's like a Pantera or a Slayer reference. I'm like, I get that. No one else does. I get that.
Yeah, I wouldn't get it. I don't really follow that 80s stuff.
It is Kevin Long.
Okay.
And here Kevy he is Webby. Now. Remember how I said we had someone named Kevin, and it sounded like we were literally just cutting to a call from a man named Kevin?
What happened?
Kevin hit me up and said he couldn't do the show. He was suddenly booked for something.
I thought you were going to say he died.
No, as far as I know, Kevin's alive and well. He's dead to the show, if that's what you mean.
We got so many laughs from the cancer jokes.
Hey, man, my old man crapped out of cancer, so I can laugh at it for whatever reason. You don't get to, though.
No.
You don't get to.
My mom had cancer.
Did she die of it?
Not yet.
You know what?
She's still here.
When she does, you get to chuckle it up. A friend of yours, Allison, and fan of the show, Brian Klosterman.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it.
Oh, right.
I knew it. He sounded like a Nazi prison guard. Herr Klosterman. Brian came in at the last second. He's going to join us.
Yeah, he's got a cape. He's going to save the day.
I just hate revealing the fact that we actually don't take the calls live. And it sounded like we're cutting right to Kevin, but I'm just sneaky like that.
It's fine enough. It works.
We do have Brian, though, so let me punch him up now. Brian, are you there?
I am here.
Wow.
Hello.
So
Brian, plug what you got, because, again, we are all trying to be our little multimedia empires unto ourselves. What is it you do, Brian, other than amuse Allison and take her from me?
Yes, it's a long-time rivalry, finally.
For her affections, exactly.
I have a podcast of, you know, who doesn't these days, but a film podcast called the Blockbusters Podcast.
The what?
Blockbusters, like Blockbusters, but, you know, think English.
Blockbusters.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay.
B-L-O-K-E, yeah, Blockbusters.
Alrighty.
Yeah, and, you know, just film review, genre-specific film discussions.
You need to carry my film reviews that I do where I haven't seen the movies, and I just crap on them. for 500 words. Feel free.
That's kind of what we do, but yeah.
Feel free, man. I just put my content out there. I'm like a dandelion. Just blow it to the winds and let those weeds sprout wherever. Well, Brian, we were discussing today kind of, I almost want to say, the history of online dating, which certainly there was a stigma to meeting someone off the internet circa 2000, 2001, even 2005. But today, do you think anything really remains of that? Or can you simply tell your friends, her friends, hey, we met via Match or eHarmony, and it does not matter?
You know, I think there still is a stigma to it. I think it's a lot less than it was 10 years ago or so.
What is your history with online dating? Because I figure a lot of guys who... we're the writer types, we're the creative types. We probably don't get off on being like the cologne-drenched lounge monkeys that are going to crush ass on the dance floor. So I'm guessing that you, especially our previous caller, H. Allen Scott, he's gay. He lived in the Midwest for a long time growing up. So with him, it was like, yeah, that's how I met gay people without having my brains bashed in with a piano leg. You know, it's not quite
as... getting drugged behind a pickup truck.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not quite as desperate a situation if you're straight, but still it's like, I want to talk to girls, but I can't, and my dick wants love. So, help me, internet. Help me.
Tonight.
Yeah. Yeah. So... is that kind of your story? Do you have a background in this? Do tell. Dish.
I mean, it's just, you know, like many things, started in my parents' basement. That sounds very ominous. But
yeah. Come down here for puppies. I'm going to log off of CompuServe and kill you, little girl.
You know, that's just where the, you know, family computer was located, you know. So, you know, when I had the time, you know, with the old fast beat dial up there. You know,
No, it was great. You would associate the sounds of a hissing modem with getting a hard on and looking at dot matrix printed porn.
Yeah, you dial those 900 numbers, and then, you know, eventually, you know, you get to see a boob.
But where were you first meeting them? AOL chat rooms, or were you later in MySpace?
It was like Yahoo Messenger, or it was like the AOL instant messenger they had, you know, like way
back
with AIM or whatever.
AIM.
AIM, and, you know, just chat on there or whatever. And, you know, nothing ever came of that. It was just, you know, flirtation, whatever, you know.
How old were you for that, by the way? Like, how old are you now?
I'm 31.
Okay, you're literally my age then. Mm-hmm. Or I'm 32, but same difference. Don't give me that technical eye, Frank, across the console.
Yeah, you know,
enough.
You know, it was just flirtation. There was never any prospect of, like, I'm going to meet you or hang out.
Let it blossom into that? I mean, did you ever, a couple years later, work up the courage, much like a serial killer at first fantasizes about murder, then actually carries it out?
Yeah, you know. I didn't have to worry about Chris Hansen in these days, so, you know, I felt pretty free. He was busting my balls nonstop, you know, so...
Nothing like a good kiddie porn joke.
I like to throw them in there when I can. But, there was one instance, and it just kind of soured me to the whole thing.
A story.
Well, good news doesn't sell papers, so let it out there.
Her name is Allison. She lives in...
The end.
I know that troll bitch.
No, that was like a year or two later. No, this chick, I don't know, we were talking, I don't know what it was, on Yahoo or some crap like that, and we live relatively close, we should get together sometime.
Was it a long experience? Because I almost remember that part as well, because back then the stigma was so great, and it was just like, obviously I met you online, you're a serial killer. You would feel each other out for like 6 or 8 months. You were practically married by the time you met sometimes.
It was probably 2 or 3 months at least of talking, of chatting, just, you know, before we ever agreed that, we're going to go meet up.
And how far apart were you?
I'd say each of us was probably about a 45-minute drive away.
Okay.
Or so. Mm-hmm. We agreed to meet at this really crappy mall, you know, this rundown mall in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Nice.
Very romantic already. I'll buy you a Cinnabon, baby. Anything you need.
All right, but, so you meet up. Were pictures exchanged beforehand?
Yeah, there were just like a couple. You know, it wasn't like, you know, today where you got 100 pictures online at your Facebook, all that stuff. It was just,
It's literally just a face shot.
It was a headshot, you know?
The classic headshot.
You could have a skinny face and be, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know.
We don't need to go down that one. I've been duped more than once.
Yeah. So, you know, we meet up. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be wearing this. I'm going to be wearing that. So we'll recognize each other and, you know. Meet in public, so, you know, no kidnapping scenario, okay.
How'd it pan out? Why did it suck? I mean, it sounds pretty par for the course.
It was just like, I think we were just very well guarded online and very comfortable talking about the things we were comfortable talking about. I don't know if that makes sense, but once we got in each other's presence, it was just like, this is dumb.
Did you pull a South Park and you guys ran back to your computers so you could continue talking to each other?
We should have. I mean, if we had had, you know, the phones on us at all times, we would have probably just texted through our.
It's funny you say that. It's funny that you said you met and it wasn't really a physical thing so much as the personalities didn't click.
Yeah,
we were just very not representative. And I don't want to say I lied or I wasn't who I said I was, but it was
it's
just,
huge. I drive Alexis. Continue.
Whatever we thought was there clearly was not.
Wow.
And I mean, she pulled that thing about, you know, an hour and a half in or whatever where she pretended to get a call. And
I thought you were going to say and she like, mashed a ketchup against her crotch and said, I have a period.
Yeah. Oh, they need me in at work. I bet they do. Okay. Whatever. Yeah, but so that was the end of that business.
No, it's funny. For me, if I click very well conversationally with someone, then I'm almost always going to get along with them in person. I know I'm typically rolling the dice when it's someone where you're texting and it's very simple text, like roughly 50% of the texts are LOL or haha or a smiley emoticon. You're really rolling the dice on that crap. But usually if someone you can really talk with them, it pans out. It's been very infrequent when that has blown up in my face.
Yeah.
And it's usually, actually it's almost always the girl who's like very, very meek in person and giving these one word answers. And it's like, hey, lady, in person, ha ha, the equivalents of ha ha and LOL aren't going to cut it. I need half a goddamn conversation here.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, what the hell are you doing over there?
What the hell am I doing?
Sounds like you're holding someone under the water and they caught out for a split second.
Never mind what I'm doing, man. All right.
Well, thanks for calling in. Plug all your stuff again.
All right. We are the Blokebusters podcast. We're at Blokebusters on Twitter, BLOKE, and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Blokebusters. And just episodes coming out about every other week. So
there you go.
Ta-da.
All right. Thanks, Brian.
All right.
Hey, take care.
Bye.
Well, that was simple enough. I didn't even have to hop off the air, really. Just punch the hell out in real life the instant we said goodbye.
Yeah.
That was Brian. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, he's fun.
Is he? How's the Blokebusters podcast? Have you listened? This is where you reveal you're a lousy friend, by the way. I love raking my friends over the coals on this. They're like, oh, yeah, you do
it
a funny funny show. I'm like, oh, yeah, when did you last listen?
It's very engaging.
Well, it's been a while.
It's very engaging, I think. I will listen. I haven't yet, so, yeah.
Wait, to his show or our show? Oh, God, if you haven't listened to ours, what kind of chance do we stand?
So I think, you know, we all can see the pros and cons to online dating. I mean, certainly the...
You sound like a kid wrapping up their fourth grade report on the Triceratops. We can all agree the Triceratops was a fearsome dinosaur.
Well, I mean, you definitely get a taste of similar interests and values. And then definitely, I think overall people would say the drawback being, you know, a greater risk of deception, you know.
I suppose so. Yeah. I want to do a whole other episode on online courage and why guys who don't get it done in real life.
I would
life.
Like to hear all the horror stories. I mean, usually when I talk to someone.
Horror stories. I mean, those horror stories out the ass.
Those good news doesn't sell papers, you know? So, I mean, I definitely like to hear, you know, as much as people love to see people in love, I think we love
who
to see.
Who likes to see that crap?
We like to
I like
see
to see me in love.
Crash and burn.
I like to see me in love yet getting away with cheating.
Yeah, we know Evel Knievel can make that jump, but let's see how many bones he can break.
Well, Allison, I think we are actually wrapped up. If right. Surf Rider would goddamn kick in.
Wow.
Play damn you play. Oh, I'm potting up the wrong pot. That's why. There we go.
Oh my.
I wanna thank our two guests today.
Yeah.
Alan Scott, because that's how I'm going to say his name here on out.
Right. Alan
Scott's Twitter handle is at H-A-L-A-N-S-C-O-T-T.
Okay.
It could have been A-L-E-N.
Yeah,
I should have
it?
Said that aloud. And Brian, what is Brian's handle again? Is he at bloke? What the hell was it? Damn
bloke
it.
Blokebusters.
There you go. I knew it was Blokebusters, but I didn't know if it was Blokebusters podcast.
Yeah.
You've been listening to Papa's Basement podcast.
Woohoo!
Papa Busters podcast. Show's website is inpapasbasement.com. Again, you go there for a new episode every Monday and every Thursday. You want to get a hold of me, John Papa Giorgio, on Twitter. It's at Papa's Basement and inpapasbasement@gmail.com for any advertising you might want to do. We have listeners.
Okay.
You know,
I believe you.
Really?
We do. I got a lot of listeners.
You
I just met some guy the other day.
You sound like
listening.
A mother and their kid is just running. They're like, Mom, there's a spaceship down the street. And all it's like young Bill Cosby talking to his mom. They're like, yes, dear, I'm sure there is. We really do have listeners.
No, I know. I've garnered us many.
Oh, it's all you. Okay.
Yeah, it's all me.
Well, thanks for doing the heavy lifting, Allison.
They
want to stalk you. It's facebook.com/ALLISON.frank.
I don't know what it is.
I think it's that. You can also go to facebook.com/papasbasement.
Yeah.
And go through the listeners list and you'll find Allison eventually.
Okay.
Big fan of the male genitalia pictures.
Oh,
just
my.
Gonna leave it at that.
You keep saying that. Now look what's happening to my phone. I don't even want to
lit
turn
up like
it on.
A Christmas tree. Till the next one. We're
okay.
Out of here.
Bye.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about. Nothing to critique. Great show. Great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah. You're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me, and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb.